welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share the show with a friend. Hello, and happy almost Father's Day to everybody. I hope you've had a great week, and I am excited to be celebrating all the dads and fathers in my life, and I hope that you're looking forward to doing the same this weekend. I thought it might be fun to give you a little peek into my own family in this episode, and I'm going to have my husband on to chat with me about being a dad. And so while we focus mainly on motherhood and that journey, the fatherhood journey is also really important. And I feel so fortunate to do this parenting gig with an amazing partner by my side. And so for those of you that do not have that partner and that support by your side, I hope there's other people in your circle that are able to offer you that support, because we can only do so much on our own. And to rely on other adults and mentors that we love and trust is huge for our kids. So if you are single or solo parenting for whatever reason, I hope that you can have that influence in your child's life of other great adults as well. And if you're celebrating the dad, your husband, your father, I hope that they just feel loved and appreciated, because so many times they work so hard. And sometimes we hear a lot of focus on the mom's responsibility, but really great dads cannot be spoken of highly enough. They play such an integral part in our kids' development as they are learning things from dad that they may or may not be learning from mom. And so I think that aspect is just so beautiful. So let's get to our episode today. First, we're going to hear from my kids. In honor of Father's Day, we wanted to do something special. And so we thought we would honor the dad in our life, my kid's dad, Pete. He is the greatest dad, and we're so lucky to have him. And so my boys wanted to say something to, you know, just tell their dad that they love him. So this is, what's your name?
I am Austin.
And how old are you?
5.
And what is your favorite thing about Daddy?
He's so strong and he lets me play video games.
He's so strong and he lets you play video games. That's awesome. What is something you've learned from Daddy?
He helped me learn to play basketball and soccer.
Is that so fun?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so great. Do you want to be a dad when you get older?
Yes.
What kind of dad are you going to do? Like, what if your kids say, I just want 5 more minutes before bed? Are you going to let them stay up?
Left for like 1 more minute.
Only for 1 more minute? Yeah. And what does Daddy say if you have a problem? What has Daddy taught you about solving problems?
Think of a solution.
Think of a solution. So, for example, you want a popsicle before dinner. What's a solution you could come up with?
How about in 5 minutes?
Yeah.
When everyone's done.
Yeah, that's a great solution. So, he's taught you how to solve those kinds of problems?
Happy Father's Day, Dad.
All right. Who are you, sir?
Parker.
And how old are you?
7.
And what do you love most about Dad?
He always buys me jerseys.
We are soccer jersey people around here, and you love soccer jerseys. What's your favorite one?
Juventus.
You ever heard of that?
Probably not.
What is one thing that Daddy's taught you?
To never give up.
Yeah. How did he teach you that? How did he teach that lesson to you?
When I play soccer, he says, try again.
Yeah. And does he help you to improve in things?
Yep.
He always plays soccer with you, huh? Even after a long day of work?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. Do you want to say anything else to Dad?
Happy Father's Day!
Do you love him?
Funny Parker.
Thanks, Parker. And then, of course, we have our third son, Jackson, but he's asleep right now when we're recording, so maybe I'll tack his little singing on at the end, because he has the sweetest singing voice, you guys. He sings nonstop, and that just warms my heart. I always dreamed of having a family band, and I'm thinking it might come true. So we'll see if we can get any singing out of him at the end of the episode. But for now, we're just going to get to it with my husband, Pete. All right, I want to welcome my husband, Pete, to the show. Hi, Pete.
Hey, Jessica.
How's it going?
Great.
Good. So for people that may not know you, this is how I always start out my podcast episodes, just so you know. Will you tell me a little bit about who you are?
Sure. My name is Pete Dahlquist. I'm an attorney. I'm an active duty Navy JAG. And right now I represent victims of sex assault.
It's a really fun dinner time conversation. If you want to kill a conversation, say that you represent victims of sex assault, and that'll just about do it. But, yeah, do you like being in the military?
I do. Yeah,
what's
it's fun.
Your favorite part?
I like the community aspect of it. I like serving other people and helping other people and feeling like I'm contributing to making the world a better, safer place.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say your white uniform.
Close
second. That's awesome. We have been married for 10 years, and we have 3 boys, like most of you know, and it's been a fun ride. We've lived in 6 different, well, we've made 6 different moves in 10 years, 4 different states. We've been in San Diego, Utah, then Michigan, then San Diego again, then Virginia, and now we're in Camarillo. So we've bounced around quite a bit with our 3 boys, but it's been fun. So it's the Extraordinary Moms podcast today, but today it's the Extraordinary Fathers podcast. And so, Pete, I just want to hear a little bit more about your fatherhood experience. What did you think being a dad would be like before having kids?
I think before having kids, I was really nervous about having kids. I remember when you and I first got married, you were ready to have kids immediately. And I was really anxious about that and nervous about that. And I was nervous, you know, what kind of impact adding another human being would have to our dynamic and to our family. I was really happy in life. At that point, everything was easy and simple. And so I think I was mostly afraid of having another baby or having a baby at all.
Yeah.
And I remember you know, it took us a little while to get pregnant and you had like fertility issues and that was really stressful for you, but kind of like a relief for me as I was like...
Bought you a little time.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. Bought me a little bit of extra time.
And once we had Parker, Parker's our first son. Now he's 7. He came out looking just like you.
I don't know. I mean, all babies look...
All babies look kind of weird.
They all look the same. I mean, I don't know. He was a cute kid. I didn't see like the resemblance like as he was an infant. Like,
it's always hard to relate babies to adult humans. It's like, oh, they look just like Grandpa Joe. But it's like, really?
Yeah,
really?
I mean,
is that true?
He was mine.
Yeah, I mean, he was yours.
He was, and so...
And comparing baby pictures, you could see the resemblance.
Yeah.
Not like comparing adult Pete to baby Parker. Mm-hmm. And those early days were so hard.
Yeah, Parker was tough.
Tell him about our like usual night routine.
Yeah, so I was in law school at the time. I was a first year law student. And I remember like that was in a particularly stressful time in life. And then Parker came halfway through second semester and he was just like, he was so high maintenance. He would not, he was very demanding. Like even as an infant, you know, like he could sense if you were relaxed and he just would not have that. So I remember, you know, I would get home after a long day of school in the evening and then, you know, you would kind of like, that would be your turn to turn off and relax and rest a little bit. And I remember staying up with him late at night, like watching SportsCenter and looking at law school notes and outlines late into the night. Oh, yeah. I'm walking up and down the hall.
Yeah, but you weren't sitting watching SportsCenter.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was like standing. That was so
bouncing, deep knee bends. Swinging him in the car seat.
Yeah, wow, that was exhausting. I can't believe I did that. And then even once he got a little bit older, he was like always just like so demanding. You know, like he was like 10 months old. I don't even know. I don't know how old he was. But when he learned how to like climb out of the pack and play, we've never had that issue.
Worst day of our life.
With any other kid. Jackson is totally content to lay in the pack and play. Austin would probably still lay in the pack and play.
Austin was in his pack and play until he was 4 years old. And he didn't. We kept saying, do you want a big boy bed? And he would say, no.
Yeah. And Parker was climbing out of the pack and play, opening the door to his bedroom too early. I don't even know how old he was. But he couldn't communicate. And you couldn't even communicate to him that what he was doing was like not okay.
Right. And so because that was such a rude awakening for both of us, was adding numbers 2 and 3 as dramatic, or do you feel like you were just so in the trenches that it was like, eh, one more?
No, I didn't mind having another baby because, yeah, I mean, it was already so much work. And also, by the time we were getting ready to have Austin, I think, like, I became a better parent once Parker got a little bit older, you know, mm-hmm. once he could interact and play. You know, I think those are, like, that's my strength as a dad, is connecting with Parker through play, or connecting with all my boys through play. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, once Parker was like 2 years old and would engage and we could play together, I think I viewed Austin differently because I saw him. Well, first of all, Austin was just an easier baby, but also I think I, you know, grown to love being a father through playing with Parker.
Yeah. And so now that you have 3 kids, you go to work every day, you're, you know, working out, getting up early, working hard, you come home. What amazes me most about you, Pete, as a dad, is your stamina to be on with the kids, even after a long day. Where does that strength come from, and where does that energy come from at the end of a long day, that you're willing to really show up for your kids and do whatever it is that they really want you to do? They've missed you.
Yeah, I think it takes a different type of energy than the energy I'm exerting at work, you know, and like the honest truth is I really enjoy playing with my kids. Mm-hmm. And so like, that's a way for me to unwind and relax also. I also think, like, as I've learned more about my kids, I view their requests to play or to do things as like invitations to connect. Mm. And so, you know, whenever Parker or Austin ask me to do something, I see it as them wanting to connect with me, like inviting me to be a part of their life. And, you know, when I see it in that way, it's hard to say no. And at the end of the day, when I'm looking back and thinking of all the things I did during the day, like oftentimes the only things I regret are if I ever say no to something that I, you know, that they ask of me, that there's really no reason to say no to. And so, you know, when I think about it like that, more often than not, I say yes, and, you know, I make time to engage with them and connect with them.
Yeah. And the way you've explained it to me too is like, you try and make it a yes. So even if it's not, you know, their full request is being granted and they're like, oh, let's stay up for an hour, you know, after bedtime, and they are master negotiators with you about bedtime. I will say that is not one of your strengths, is laying down the hammer at bedtime. But that's beside the point. This is a Father's Day episode where we're applauding you for your efforts. But but you're always willing to negotiate with them and try and get them to feel like they've been heard, and you acknowledge what they're really asking of you. And like you said, it's that connection. It's not just playing soccer. It's about connecting with their dad and having fun with their dad and showing off their skills and to you and things like that. And I mean, another thing that you're so natural at, especially as the kids have gotten older, is the aspect of empathy. And we talk about that a lot on the show, that when you can see something from your child's perspective, how that is just such a game changer. And I would say this comes way more naturally to you than it does to me. It can be really hard and frustrating when you want your child to do something to not just get them to do it right away. But you have a really beautiful way of identifying the issue with them and then working it out. And usually the result is what we wanted them to do in the end. But they have felt heard, they felt validated, and then they're ready to move on and do what we need them to do, or some variation of it. Where did you learn to do that? Or what's your process when you're dealing with the kids in that way?
Yeah, so I think understanding what the kids are thinking and what they're going through and like what their sources of frustration are and why they're acting the way they are, I think a lot of that, well, especially with Parker's is, you asked, did I see Parker when he was born? And the answer is not really, but like now I see myself in Parker in almost everything he does. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes when Parker, you know, is behaving in a way that's hard to understand, like, I get it because I see myself in his behavior.
Sure.
You know, he's hyper competitive. You know, he hates when things aren't in his control. You know, he hates not being the best at everything. He's super competitive. He doesn't like to lose. And so, like, a lot of those things are things that I see in myself, and definitely things that I were part of who I was when I was growing up. And so when I see something happening, you know, whether it's him starting to lose a game or somebody else starting to get attention, I can sense how that's going to hurt Parker and how Parker's going to react to that. And so I truly do, in a lot of cases, understand why he is upset. And I think it helps me better understand how to address that situation, to say, hey, Parker, I see what's going on. I know why this is upsetting to you. And oftentimes he doesn't even really realize why he's upset.
Yeah, he's 7. Yeah.
And so I can, say, hey, Parker, this is what I'm seeing. Is that why you're upset? And then we can come up with a solution from there. And then something else that you were talking about, which is something I think is really important, is empowering young people, kids, well, anybody really, even including my clients at work, and empowering people to come up with their own solutions. You know, so that is something I always encourage in the boys, even if sometimes it like backfires dramatically.
Like, we were supposed to record this podcast at 8 because the kids are supposed to go to bed at 8. So I was setting it up. I'm like, I send Pete out. Okay, you're going to do bedtime with them. Next thing I know, I look out the window. They're all on the trampoline playing soccer. So like I said, bedtime, not the strong suit. But, I mean, did it hurt anybody? No. And they connected with their dad. So it's all's well that ends well. But, yeah.
Yeah, no. So, yeah. So, I mean, the point is, yeah, usually when I present something, I also like to explain reasons for things. I never say because I said so, because that's the way it is, because I'm your dad. Like, that's not a reason to do something. And so at least that's my opinion. And so I always give a reason. I always try to justify my decisions. And I encourage them to negotiate, you know, to be like, well, dad, how about this? You know, so if it's like, hey, boys, it's time to go to bed. And if they're like, hey, dad, how about if we go to bed in 30 minutes? And I'm like, no, you need to go to bed now. And they're like, well, how about if we play this game and we just do that for 5 minutes? And, you know, I'll be like, okay, it doesn't
sounds
hurt.
Reasonable.
That doesn't hurt to stall bedtime for 5 minutes. And then if you're, you know, if then you'll go to bed willingly, that's much better than having to argue about it for 5 minutes. I encourage that. I encourage problem solving. Parker is really good at it, and Austin is learning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I think that Austin used, whenever you kind of tell him something, give him a piece of bad news, whether, hey, you can't play video games anymore, or, you know, whenever it's
time
anything,
to go to bed.
Anything
yeah.
that gets in the way of whatever he wants, you know, he like pouts. And so, you know, every time he does that, I try to encourage him, hey, Austin, why don't you suggest an alternative? You know, what would you like? So you can't do this right now. You can't play your video games right now because Parker and I are watching something, or I'm watching a game. Why don't you suggest an alternative? And so he'll be like, can I watch it in 30 seconds?
Try again.
And I say, well, how about 5 minutes? You know, but even that, I appreciate him saying, like, even delaying gratification for 30 seconds is still a compromise, and I appreciate it. He's a shrewd negotiator.
Absolutely. He's going to get a car when he's 16 for the lowest price. He's like, no. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, and identifying with your child is not letting them get away with things. It's not perpetuating that type of behavior. I love how you work through the kids with that. I think that is just huge. I've learned so much from seeing that model for me. And I feel like I've improved a little bit, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do what you do. I really am. I think you're just such a great model in that. And it's not something that comes as naturally to me, but I definitely believe it's something that I can learn. And I see it being effective with my kids. And so I want that. I want that tool that I can use with them, because it's so effective with you, with the boys.
Another thing that I think, well, I was going to say that, you know, you do a great job with the boys also, and that, like, I tell you this all the time, but there's nobody I would rather have them spending all the hours of the day with than you, because I know you're like a naturally loving, nurturing, and giving person.
Well, thanks.
But another thing that, you know, that helps with as far as negotiating and trying to get them to do what you want them to do is the investment. As far as, like, when they ask you to do something, you say yes,
mm-hmm,
if you can.
Mm-hmm.
I notice with Parker, when I ask him to do something, he almost always says yes.
Right.
You know, and I think that's because, like, he trusts me.
Absolutely. That's such a good point.
And he, you know, he knows that we are going to ask each other for things and we're going to say yes and we're going to help each other out. And so, you know, when I ask him to do me a favor, whether it's to turn the TV down or to go to bed or whatever it is, like, he trusts me and he knows if I'm asking him to do something that, you know, he should do it.
I really agree with that. And part of the philosophy that we love on this podcast is called peaceful parenting. And it's exactly what you're doing. The focus is developing connection up front so that when there is discipline or is correction, there's already that connection and that trust built. So you have that strong foundation so the kids aren't going to flip out on you because you already have this history, right? Or if you want your kids to tell you hard things when they're teenagers, they've already developed this rapport and this trust with you, and they know they can come to you with anything, and they can probably predict how you're going to react about it because you've already made that time investment up front. So much of parenting is that work up front before the responsive action comes. And you do such a great job at that, and I'm trying to do that as well. This is fun. You left me on the podcast. Yeah. Isn't this fun? Yeah. He just wants to keep going.
another thing that I do.
You can't see, but he's getting more comfortable in the chair.
Another thing that I think is important is being able to admit to your kids when you've made a mistake.
Yes, I do that.
Yeah. So, you know, I wish, you know, sometimes kids are frustrating and I lose my patience. Mm-hmm. And I react in a way that I regret, you know, whether it's raising my voice or imposing a consequence that's too drastic, like, hey, you're never going to watch TV in your life ever again.
You know, I'm going to throw away all your toys.
I'm throwing away the Nintendo. Like, I'm throwing away the PS4. We're getting rid of it. But I think it's, like, fair to admit to your kids, you know, so that is, like, 2 minutes later, be like, okay, Parker, that was a little dramatic. I was upset for this reason, but the way I responded was not right. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that acknowledging that for your kids and helping them understand that, you know, that you made a mistake and that's not how, you know, they deserve to be treated or the way that, you know, you want them to be treated or respected. I think that's important.
Absolutely. Being able to own your own mistakes is huge. And I think if they can learn not to be prideful from an early age, in a way where they're trying to save face and justify their actions and hoping it'll blow over before they have to cop to something. The earlier they can do that, they're going to do that for a lifetime. And we've met plenty of adults that don't know how to do that, right? And so working on that with your kids from a young age is huge. I'm glad you mentioned that. That's great. This is fun, huh?
Yeah, it's great.
Podcasting's the best.
Yeah, it's best. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. So I always ask my guests one final question, and I'm going to tweak it. Because you're a manly man. What would you tell your pre-fatherhood self?
Yeah, I think I would just, I mean, every kid is so different. I don't think there's, you know, any one piece of advice that could really be life-altering or anything like that. I think you kind of have to figure it out as you go along, and you have to work with, you know, whatever circumstances you're in, because each kid is so different. I would tell myself to just be patient with, especially early on. I thought your parenting was tough early on, but it got so much easier. Like I was saying, you know, regrets at the end of the day, the only regrets I have are when I'm not as patient as I should be. So that's the one piece of advice for myself.
That's awesome. What's your favorite part of being a dad?
I like seeing my kids achieve things.
Yeah.
I like seeing them progress and overcome challenges and, you know, apply themselves and see results.
Pete, I think you're an extraordinary dad. I really do. And I've seen you really hit your stride as the kids have gotten older. And I've learned so much from you and how you deal with especially the difficult interactions and the tantrums and things like that. You have a natural ability to cope with those types of events. And I really look to you to guide me in knowing how to deal with those things. And I'm just really lucky to get to parent with you. So thanks for being on the show and thanks for being a great dad. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks, babe. Love you.
I love you. I had such a fun time recording with Pete. He's not a huge podcast listener and he was a little bit reluctant to come on, but it really didn't take that much convincing. And once he got going, he really was getting more comfy in the chair and sharing more and more about his heart and his journey. And I just love listening to him talk about parenting. He's such a great dad, and I've learned so much, like I said. So thanks for coming on, Pete, and thanks to the boys for coming on as well. So hopefully you got a better picture of my family and got to know us a little bit better and how we approach parenting and things like that. Next week, I have an amazing episode for you. It's going to be a hard one, but it's so important to cover this topic. I'm talking with Lindsay Ostrom of Pinch of Yum. Not only does she have amazing recipes, but she recently became a mom for the very first time to her son Afton, though she went into preterm labor and unfortunately he only lived a few hours. We're going to talk about that loss for their family, what it was like in the days after, and how she's been able to kind of find a new normal and what the future looks like for their family. It's not an easy topic to cover, but it's important because we've all either been through a loss like that or we've known somebody that has. And having insight into that type of journey, I think, is a really valuable look at something that is hard to talk about, but is really important to empathize with and have compassion for. I enjoyed that conversation so much with Lindsay, and I'm really excited to share it with you on Tuesday. So thanks for tuning into the podcast. As always, you can follow me on Instagram at JessicaDalquist3, on Facebook at Extraordinary Moms Podcast, and over at our website, extraordinarymomspodcast.com. If you're new around here, you can find other episodes that might resonate with you. I love bringing you these shows every week. And guess what? I do have a clip of Jackson singing. So stay tuned in the next minute, and you're going to hear some wonderful tunes from Jackson Dahlquist wishing his dad a happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and let's go out with Jackson Dahlquist singing some of his favorite songs. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week for another episode with another Extraordinary Mom. Bye. Jackson, do you love Daddy? Do you sing happy birthday to your dada? Yay! Say love you!